Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 to 44. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, we are currently studying the Olivet Discourse found in Matthew chapters 24 and 25. And we said that Jesus spoke this discourse to his disciples privately on the Mount of Olives. And he spoke in response to some questions that the disciples had when he told them that the temple would one day be destroyed. Now, we have said that the atmosphere of the first part of the Olivet Discourse is Jewish. The first part of the Olivet Discourse is Matthew chapter 24 verses 4 to 44. And the entire atmosphere there is Jewish. Jesus talked about Judea, Matthew 24 verse 16. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. He speaks about the Sabbath, Matthew 24 verse 20. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. Jesus speaks regarding the prophecies of Daniel concerning the Jewish people, Matthew 24 verse 15. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. All of this indicates that in Matthew 24 verses 4 to 44, our Lord Jesus was discussing events that will take place on earth during the time of tribulation. Now we also said that in Matthew 24 verses 4 to 44, Jesus explained three different periods in the time of tribulation. First, the beginning of the tribulation in verses 4 to 14. Number two, the middle of the tribulation in verses 15 to 22. And finally, the end of the tribulation in verses 23 to 44 of Matthew chapter 24. Now, last Sunday, we were studying the end of the tribulation period, and we had stopped at verse 31. Today, we will look into verses 32 to 44, which is our text, which I read to you this morning. Our Lord Jesus closed this section of his discourse with three practical admonitions. And these three practical admonitions were built around three illustrations. The illustration of a fig tree, the illustration of Noah, and the illustration of a thief in the night. In Matthew 24, verse 36, the Lord makes it clear that no one will know the day or the hour of the Lord's coming. But they can be aware of the movements of events and not be caught by surprise so that they can be watchful. Matthew 24, verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. Now, let's begin looking at the three illustrations. First, the fig tree. Matthew 24, verses 32 to 35. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near. At the very gates, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. In the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 21, in verse 29, it reads, behold the fig tree and all the trees. The fig tree in the Bible is often a picture of Israel. Hosea chapter 9, verse 10. Like grapes in the wilderness, I found Israel. Like the first fruit on the fig tree, in its first season. I saw your fathers, but they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to the thing of shame and became detestable like the thing they loved. Again in Luke chapter 13 verses 6 to 9, we read of the fig tree. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the wine dresser, look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Luke 21 verse 29, behold the fig tree and all the trees. So the fig tree is Israel, and the other trees would picture the nations of the world. Perhaps our Lord was suggesting that increased nationalism will be one of the signs of the end times. Increased nationalism. And we see that happening all around us. We see this happening in our time in these days. Luke 21 verse 28. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. You see, certainly future events cast their shadows before they actually take place. Look at verse 28, Luke 21, verse 28. Now when these things begin to take place, that suggests that a sign need not be full blown before it is important to God's people. The budding of the trees, that indicates that summer is near. The beginning of these signs indicates that the Lord's coming is near. Matthew 24, verse 34. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Now this generation is the generation that is alive on earth at the time, at that time. The generation that is alive on earth at that time will see these events take place, the events that we've been studying. Our generation today, we see a foreshadow of these signs, and we have begun to see a foreshadow of those signs in our times. We do not look for signs as such. We look for the Savior, Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are a people not looking for signs, we are looking for a Savior. The Savior is no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus can come for His church at any time. The rapture can take place at any time. Therefore, be ready to meet the Lord. Be ready to meet the Lord. Because there's a reward for you in heaven if you faithfully serve Him, having known Him as Savior and Lord of your lives while here on earth. We will face the judgment seat of Christ. Once the rapture takes place, the church is taken up, we will face the judgment seat of Christ. That is not a judgment unto condemnation. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That judgment seat of Christ is the judgment of reward. According to what you have done, according to your faithfulness, according to how you have served Him. And that's why serving the Lord is so important. Faithfully serving Christ is so important. According to that, you will be rewarded. Now let's read the next illustration, the days of Noah. Matthew chapter 24 verses 36 to 42. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Here, the emphasis is on the fact that the people did not know the day when judgment would strike. Noah and his family in the ark are a picture of God's miraculous preservation of Israel during the awful time of the tribulation. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. If He did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness with seven others, when He brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. What about Enoch? Enoch is a picture of the church which is raptured before the tribulation. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. For God took him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. We see there how God took him. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken. Where? Up. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. God has not destined his church to wrath. Remember, you and I are his bride, bought by his precious blood. He gave his very life so that you and I can have eternal life. We are so precious to him. We are his bride. He has not destined us to wrath. No. Jesus shed his blood on the cross to deliver us from the wrath of God. That's why he came. In fact, he took the wrath of God upon himself so that we could be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So, Jesus takes the wrath upon himself. The wrath of God which should actually fall on you and me because we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus, as our substitute and as our representative, takes the very wrath of God upon himself so that you and I could be set free. And that's how much he loves us. So he has not destined his church to wrath. He has destined us to life eternal, life with God forever. Tribulation is a time when God's wrath falls upon the earth, as we've been seeing in our study in Matthew chapter 24. The body of Christ, we his bride, his church, we are saved from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, that's what we are called to do. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. The wrath of God is what is known as a tribulation, when his wrath falls upon the earth. And you read that from Revelation chapter 6 right up to Revelation chapter 19. The wrath of God falling upon the earth. Now, what kept people from listening to Noah's message? What kept people from listening to what God was saying through Noah? And what kept them from hearing and obeying the message that God gave through Noah? Matthew 24 verses 37 to 39. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. What kept them from listening to Noah? The common interests of life, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, that is what kept them from listening to Noah's message. They did not stop to listen to the voice of God through his servant Noah. Does God speak? Of course he does. He spoke to me this morning. Yes, he did. He spoke to me this morning. And you want to hear what he told me? You can ask me after the service is over. I'll sit and talk with you what he said to me. He speaks to me every day. But for God to speak, you want somebody to speak with you, what do? You want to speak with someone, what do? If I want to talk to Kapil, I will say, Kapil, give me some time. We fix an appointment. I need to talk with you, isn't it? So if you want to talk to somebody, you want to listen to somebody, you want to hear somebody speak, then what do? You fix an appointment. If you want God to speak to you, what must you do? Come on, young people, what must you do? Fix an appointment. If you don't fix an appointment, what happens? How can you expect God to speak to you? The atmosphere also needs to be right. When I get up in the morning, I told you 5 minutes before four normally. Today it was 3 o'clock in the morning. He wakes me up, and when he wakes me up, I know he's woken me up. I know when he wakes me up. Morning by morning, he awakens me, Isaiah 50 verse 4. So when he wakes me up, I get up, and the first thing I do is I fall on my knees and I worship the Lord. I worship him. Because when I worship God, when we worship God, we experience God's presence. Don't run into the presence of God. Please don't. Please don't. You know, don't have this hi-bye relationship with God. I'm not saying that you can't talk to God and pray. I'm not saying that you can't speak to God at any time. No, I'm not saying that. But there is a tendency that we evangelicals, Bible-believing people have. We're so pally-pally with God. That's dangerous. Be still and know that I am God. That's what he says. Which means that you need to set an appointment with him. You need to be reverential. There needs to be a fear of God in our lives. A reverential fear of God needs to come upon us so that we learn to listen to his voice. And we are disciplined to listen to his voice. All right? And he was wanting to speak to us. Oh, he loves to speak to us. He cherishes it. He wants us to come to him. This morning, that's what he told me. That's what he told me. He cherishes our relationship with him. So make sure you learn to listen. Discipline yourself. Don't get so busy with the pursuits of life. All right? Stop and listen to God speak. Fix an appointment. Spend time with him. Get to know him. Stop to listen to the voice of God. They did not stop to listen to the voice of God through his servant Noah. They were swept into judgment, therefore, because they had absolutely no concern about the messenger with Noah. Now, you are not like that. I'm not like that. We definitely are concerned. We want to hear God's voice. But, you know, our problem is we have taken all of this for granted. God has saved me. I am his child. I belong to him. He'll speak to me. Be careful. Be careful. Don't take all these things for granted. Make sure you set aside time to listen to God speak to you. They were swept into judgment because they had absolutely no concern about the message that God had through Noah. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, what did he do? Constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Noah being warned by God. Interesting, isn't it? By faith, Noah being warned by God. God is not warning these people who are not listening to him. They're not bothered anyway. But God is warning Noah and telling Noah, this is what's going to come. Being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen in reverent fear. What did he do? He constructed an ark. Jesus is today building his church. And he is coming for his church. And his church will be raptured. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. God in his patience waited for them. He waited for them to repent. But they would not even listen. They had no ear for God. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 20. Because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited. Look at that. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. In which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through water. It's a dangerous thing to get so absorbed in the pursuits of life that we forget Jesus is coming. Now, there's nothing wrong in having, like you said, biryani, eating, drinking. There's nothing wrong. You need to do that. Marrying, yes. But the problem here was what? They were so absorbed with these things. They were so absorbed with these things. And it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to get so absorbed in the pursuits of life that we forget that Jesus is coming. We forget that Jesus is coming. So what must we do as believers in Christ? Get absorbed in the kingdom of God, not in the pursuits of life. The other day I was talking to a parent, and you know, the children were asking the parents, you know, why should I study? Why should I study? Then the parents were saying, you have to study to get a good job. I said, please stop. That's not what you tell them. Because you get a good job. That's a different issue. But you're studying to know the will of God. That's what you must do. The whole purpose of your studying, all that you learn, is so that you are able to find out, what is it that God wants me to do? Why has he created me? Why has he made me like this? By the way, you're so unique. There's no one like you. Today, there's no one like you on planet Earth. You look around, you try, you find. You will never find. You'll never find. You're unique. So is everyone. Forgive me for saying your name. Each one of us, we are unique. But we need to find out why God has created us. Why has God redeemed us? Why has he given? Why did the Lord Jesus give his life for me? Why am I so precious to him? You are precious to him. You are precious to him, but he wants you to know why. And once you know why, you know God's will. That's how you know God's will. But for which you need to learn to listen to God's voice. When you listen to God's voice, he will speak to you. You get into intimate fellowship with him. Ah, he will show you his will. He will show you his purpose for creating you and for redeeming you by the blood of Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. And once you get to know that purpose, then what do? You put your heart and soul in doing God's will. Because that's why God has made you. That's why he has redeemed you. That's why he shed his blood on the cross to give you life eternal and life abundant on earth. What is life abundant on earth? Life abundant is being able to do the will of God on earth. To be in the center of the will of God on earth. In my wildest dreams, I will never, never exchange what I am doing right now for anything else. Because I know that this is God's will for my life. Once you get to know that. I'm not saying all of you become pastors and teachers. No, no, no. Not at all. Not at all. You can do the will of God and you must do the will of God in the place that God places you. And you lift him up and people will be drawn to him. That's God's purpose. That's God's plan. So get absorbed in the kingdom of God, not in the pursuits of life. Matthew 24 verses 39 to 41. We're coming to that verb taken, and that's very, very important. People get confused with that. The verb taken in Matthew 24 verses 39 to 41 means taken away into judgment. Taken away in judgment. That's what it means. All right? Matthew 24 verses 39 to 41. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Please do not apply these verses to the rapture of the church when believers are caught up in the air to meet the Lord. During the tribulation, a division will take place. Some people will perish in judgment, be taken away in judgment, not taken as God took Enoch. Where did God take Enoch? Up. All right, these people are taken into judgment. Others will remain. Remain for what? To enter into the millennial kingdom. Christ comes and he will reign on earth. God took Enoch up. Remember Hebrews 11 verse 5. Here they are taken away into judgment. Now the use of the phrase took them all away. Read Matthew 24 verse 39. This is very important. Makes this very clear. Matthew 24 verse 39. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24 verse 39. I read now from the NIV, the New International Version. Matthew 24 verse 39. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Matthew 24 verse 39. I read from the New King James Version. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Only eight were taken into the ark, including Noah. Rest of them were taken away into judgment. So that's what will happen in the tribulation. Some people will perish in judgment. They will be taken away. Others will remain to enter into the kingdom. Matthew 24 verse 39. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. So during the tribulation, a division will take place. Some people will perish in judgment, be taken away. Others will remain to enter into the kingdom. Number three, the thief in the night. Matthew 24 verses 42 to 44. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Jesus used Noah to warn that men will not know the day of his coming. They will not know the day of his coming. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Matthew 24 verse 42. Then Jesus used the picture of the thief to warn that they will not know the hour of his coming. You won't know the day, you won't know the hour. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Matthew 24 verse 44. Now, we've said earlier in our study, after the rapture of the church, there will be a time of peace and safety on the earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. And I read verse 2 and 3 also. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So, suddenly, God's judgments will fall upon the earth. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. People alive on earth during the tribulation period will be able, from the scriptures, because heaven and earth shall pass away, we read, my word shall not pass away. People alive on earth during the tribulation period will be able from the scriptures to tell the drift of the events, but they will not be able to calculate the exact date or the hour when Christ returns. Now, added to this is the fact that the days will be shortened for the sake of the elect, for the elect's sake. Matthew 24 verse 22. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Now, this may mean fewer days of tribulation, or it may mean fewer hours, so that the people on earth suffer a bit less. When we combine the exhortations found in these three pictures, in these three illustrations, a fig tree, Noah, a thief in the night, we end up with, know that he's near. Watch, therefore, be ready. Believers alive during that period of history will certainly find great comfort in the promises of the Word of God. Now, while this interpretation of this portion of Scripture, verses 4 to 44, relates to Israel during the tribulation, we need to apply the Word to our own hearts. Now, we can't just push it aside and say, this is for the tribulation period, not for us. No. All of Scripture is for exhortation, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that we will become people of God, people who know His will, do His will, people after His own heart. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. So how does this apply to us? We do not know when our Lord Jesus Christ will return for His church. We don't know. Therefore, what must we do? We need to be alert, watchful, and faithful. Jesus deals with this in detail. He deals with this in the next section of the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24 verses 45 right up to chapter 25 in verse 30. And God willing, we will study that later on. We ought to be grateful that God has not appointed us to wrath. We need to be thankful. God has not appointed us to wrath. He gave us His very life to save us. He has given us His very life so that we can have salvation. And when Jesus Christ appears, we will see Him face to face, and we will put on the glorified body, which only He has right now. The same glorified body that Christ has, you and I will put on. He has saved us from the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9 and 10. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. That means whether we are alive or whether we are dead, we live for Him. We might live with Him. So we are called to encourage each other with the truth that Jesus Christ is coming to deliver us from the wrath to come. That's what we're called to do. We are called to encourage each other that Jesus is coming to deliver us from the wrath to come. He is coming for His church. He is coming for His bride. And His bride is precious to Him. So we must encourage each other with these words. And I read to you once again the passage which speaks about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 1 to 11. Listen carefully. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 1 to 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. You see that? What a promise. You are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. We are saved, washed by the blood of Jesus. So then let us not sleep as others do. By the way, this doesn't mean that you don't go to sleep. Huh? Please have your good nap. No? Not the extra long, long nap. But the sleep that you need, you need. Make sure you get that sleep. Right? If you discipline yourself, you can sleep on time. You can get up on time. You can listen to the voice of God. Your heart can beat after God's heartbeat. All right, let's go ahead. Where did I stop? But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light. You're all children of light, children of the day, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. That means be watchful. Be watchful. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, which means we don't belong to darkness, we belong to the light. We belong to the kingdom of God's dear Son. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, what does it say? Now I want you to read this verse together. Let's read this together. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Now, can you encourage each other by saying, listen, get ready, the tribulation is coming. Is that encouragement? That's frightening to me. The wrath of God falling upon this earth. And I'm trying to encourage, saying, look, tribulation is coming. Be encouraged. You encourage each other with the truth that Jesus Christ is coming to deliver us from the wrath to come. He is coming for his church, his bride, precious to him. He's preparing his bride for his coming. Through God's word, by his spirit, he is preparing his bride. So we must encourage each other with these words. He's coming to take us to be with him, and we will live with him eternally. That is encouragement. As the people of God, we certainly go through tribulation, yes. Meaning we go through persecution. That's what it means. John 16 verse 33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So while we're going through life on earth, as believers in Christ, we will face times when we are persecuted. I don't think we have faced persecution as, you know, persecution really is. I don't know how many of you have been beaten up for your faith. Today people are killed. There are pastors, missionaries who are killed in this my own country. In these present days, during the lockdown, persecution of the church escalated by 60%. By 60% during the lockdown. Many pastors have lost their lives, missionaries have lost their lives. Nobody knows. Because who cares? The news is not going to, tell you all these things. Many have become orphans, many have become widows. Killed. So some of us, we might go through persecution, yes, but not tribulation. Persecution and tribulation, totally different. Entirely different. You will have tribulation, meaning you will have persecution. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So through these difficult times, through these perilous times, the church of God is being built up. And what is God doing? He's preparing us for his coming. He's preparing his bride for his coming. The Apostle Paul, he encourages the persecuted church. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, meaning persecutions, we must enter the kingdom of God. So, faith, you know what happens during persecution? Your faith is tested. All these phonies will disappear, no? All these prosperity gospel preachers will disappear. They'll all be gone, because they come to faith for what? Prosperity. They don't come to faith for anything else. They come to faith for money, for position, for fame, for power, all those things. They don't come to faith in repentance and faith in Christ. So what happens during persecution? The falsehood will be exposed, and the truth about these people will be known. And many of them will just, you know, they'll disappear. They disappear. They already disappeared, quite a few of them. During COVID itself, they disappeared. Forget persecution. During COVID, they disappeared, many of them. As children of God, we will go through persecution, tribulation with a small t. That we will go through. But we will not go through the tribulation with a capital T. So what should be our focus today? This is what we need to look into. What should be our focus today? Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom on earth. At the end of the tribulation, he will establish his kingdom on earth. And today we are called to live out his kingdom as his ambassadors on earth. That's our calling. That's our calling. Anyone who sees you must see the King of Kings. Anyone who interacts with you, wherever you are, wherever God has placed you, must see Christ in you. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live for Jesus. So when you live for Jesus, people will see Jesus. And that's what we are called to do. In our study in Psalm 72 last Wednesday, it's so beautiful that this is coinciding. I believe it's from the Holy Spirit. I quoted Isaac Watts. He's the famous hymn writer who wrote the hymn, Jesus Shall Reign, in Psalm 72. In fact, Isaac Watts used Psalm 72 and he wrote, Jesus Shall Reign. And Psalm 72, remember, if those of you are attending the Wednesday services, Psalm 72 speaks about the elements that make up the promised kingdom of God on earth. It's so beautiful, actually, so beautiful. The elements that make up the kingdom of God on earth. And Isaac Watts used Psalm 72 as the basis of this great hymn, Jesus Shall Reign. Jesus shall reign wherever the sun does its successive journeys run. Jesus shall reign wherever the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore. Till moons shall wax and wane no more. He will reign wherever the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. So we must never stop praying. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6 verse 10. And we must never stop living out the kingdom. We must never stop living out the kingdom. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world manifests the kingdom of God in this world. Remember Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 to 2. John the Baptist, what did he preach? He began his ministry saying, Matthew 3 verse 1 and 2, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How did Jesus begin his ministry? Matthew chapter 4 verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see that? So the kingdom of heaven is here and yet not yet here. All right. And that's where we are. We are living in the yet and not yet. All right. So we see the signs of the kingdom, and that's so beautiful to see. We see the signs of God's kingdom on earth through us, his children, being manifested, and we await his reign, when he will reign on earth and his kingdom will be established on earth for 1,000 years. The kingdom of heaven is the reign of Jesus Christ. Just as he reigns in heaven, Jesus will reign on earth. And that's what we look forward to, and that's what we pray for. That's what must be uppermost in our lives while we live. This reign began with the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, and that reign continues and will come to its climax with Jesus Christ's millennial reign on earth. In his first coming, the king died. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. And he is today building his church on earth But he's coming again to reign in righteousness on earth. And today as his children, he strengthens us. He strengthens us. And how are we strengthened? How are we strengthened? He strengthens us from the riches of his glory. He's seated in glory, and from the riches of his glory, we can live out his kingdom purposes on earth. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16. Ephesians 3 verse 16. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. So we are empowered by his spirit who lives in us. So when we constantly listen to the Holy Spirit, when we listen to the voice of God who speaks to us through his word, we live a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit, which means we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. We are not controlled by the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are controlled by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And this brings glory to God. If any man thirst, what did he say? Let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit. So without that thirst, without that hunger, that fullness of the Holy Spirit is not going to happen. We will be controlled by the world. We'll be what is called carnal Christians. One foot in the world and one foot saying, I'm a believer also. Dangerous. In fact, if we study further on, we will find that many of them are just phonies. They don't actually know God. Because if you continue to live in sin, it's a sure sign that you do not know God. But if you are dead to sin, alive unto God, experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you, walking in step of the Holy Spirit, you can enjoy God. So this brings glory to God. When we manifest his kingdom, when we manifest his kingdom, what happens? His presence becomes very real. To experience him in your life. So we are empowered by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. When we constantly listen to the Holy Spirit who speaks to us through his word, and we live a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit, a life that is controlled by the Holy Spirit, we experience his power, we experience his love, we experience his presence. And wherever God places us, we become light. We become the salt. You're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth. So from the riches of his glory, he provides for every need of ours to fulfill his kingdom purposes in our lives. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Remember, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one who put those billions of galaxies into space. He spoke and the universe came into existence. All things were created by him, through him, and for him. And it is to him that we come. And out of the riches of his glory, he fills us so that we can fulfill his kingdom purposes on earth. And people who see us see Christ, not us. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. Paul said, I have died, he's alive in me. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In his second coming, he will establish complete rule. So you see, we live between the yet and the not yet. That's where we are. So that's why you ask me, you know, many people ask me, Pastor, you pray, some people are healed, some people are not healed. Why are you praying? Some people are not healed, they go back depressed. Listen, I preach the gospel also. Some people are saved, some people are not saved. Don't ask me why. I don't know why. I don't know why. I know this, that God touches people. Healing comes from God. Salvation comes from God. Whether a person is born again or whether a person is healed, it is from God. It's not me. It's not me. But there is a kingdom yet to come in which he will reign. And there is a life with God forever in where there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying, no more dying. Please, don't tell me, don't pray, Pastor, because some are not healed. If some are not healed, I'll continue to pray. Not because something is wrong with them. No, something is wrong with me only. Remember, the disciples came to Jesus. They could not cast out the demon from that boy who, you know, the demon was tormenting him. And they asked Jesus, why? Some of these things do not go without fasting and prayer. So when someone doesn't get healed, I don't blame them, I blame myself. There's something wrong with me. There's something that needs to be set right so that I would know and I would pray and that God will minister. The weak, frail vessel that you and I are, God wants to use. And he wants to manifest his kingdom through you and me, weak vessels. That's what God wants. And it's only when they begin to see the kingdom, it's only when the unbelievers begin to see the kingdom that they will be attracted to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Until then, all of this is just talk, let me tell you. It's pointless. It's pointless. It makes no sense. It's just what you call humanism. They need to see the King of Kings in and through you and me. That's why Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And when they see the King of Kings, what happens? The King will minister to the very need of their hearts. And when that happens, born again, yes, they are saved, delivered, demons disappear, sickness departs, God's glory descends, power of God made manifest, the love of God poured into their hearts, the born of God's spirit enter into God's kingdom. In the second coming, he will establish complete rule, complete reign on earth. He has now caused us to be born again. He has placed us as his ambassadors to manifest his rule in our lives. And last Wednesday, I said he appeals through us to the people of the world to accept him as Savior and Lord of their lives. That's his appeal. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Just imagine that. God making his appeal through whom? You and me, dust and dirt, that's what we were, fit only for eternal hell. He picks us up, makes us his, and he says, I seal you by my spirit, go out in my name. Manifest the kingdom. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have the authority that God gives us. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Our lives and our message must be so exemplary. We must be exemplary witnesses for Jesus in this dark world. And that's what we are called to do. A holy life. A life that is set apart unto God. A life that is manifesting the presence of the power and the love of God. Believers in Christ, we are kings and priests manifesting his kingdom wherever God places us. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. You see that? A chosen race, a royal priesthood. Please live out the life of a king. You belong to royalty. This is not prosperity gospel. Royalty involves heavenly authority. That's what it means. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Wherever there is the manifestation of his kingdom, there will be righteousness, peace, and joy. That'll be evident. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. You see that? We are not absorbed by the things of this world. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. His power also is made manifest. Wherever his kingdom is manifest, his power is manifest. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. Of the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. How beautiful. Isaiah chapter 9 verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And that begins with you and me. Of the increase of his government in your life and my life, and of that peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. It's not you and I who are doing this. It is God who has chosen you before the foundation of the world was laid to be his, who has brought you into his kingdom and empowering you by his spirit to do his will. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Jesus said in Luke 11 verse 20, but if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He sends us. Yes, he sends us, his believers, into the world to manifest his kingdom. And we are called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, manifesting God's kingdom. Where there is more light, what happens? More light, darkness disappears. You're the light, you're salt. What does salt do? Flavor. How important you and I are in God's eyes. We are his treasure. We are his temple. We are his instruments, tools in his hands. We are weapons for his use. Matthew 5 verse 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You're not saved to be hidden. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. And to me, that city is the church. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, because the church is filled with God's people, God's presence. And the church makes an impact wherever God has placed it. It is his church. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When Jesus Christ reigns as Lord in our lives, he will manifest his kingdom through us, wherever he places us. Luke chapter 9, verse 2. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 to 8. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. By the way, you might be saying, Pastor, this happened in the early days. It happened when Jesus was on earth. In the book of Acts, and the apostles were here. But after the apostles died, it all disappeared. No, my friends, it's happening right now. You want to check it out? Check it out. Check out Iris Ministries Global. Please just check out Iris Ministries Global. They work in places that are totally downtrodden. People in total poverty. People who are so sick. Mozambique. One of the most needy places in Africa. And the kind of ministry that happens there, just like in the book of Acts. Just exactly like in the book of Acts. Why doesn't it happen here? Because we don't believe it is there. We believe it's gone. That's our problem. We believe that it was there. It's not there now. You see how crafty we evangelicals are. We say we are Bible believing, but half the Bible we have thrown out. That's our problem. We don't see it happening because we don't expect it to happen. We don't even have the faith that such things will happen today. And that's our big problem. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. Every spiritual and material resource that is needed to fulfill his kingdom purposes, that is provided for us believers who seek his kingdom. So fix your eyes on his kingdom purposes. Focus on his kingdom purposes. Live for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Be sensitive to his voice. I repeat this over and over again. Learn to listen to him. Be still and know that I am God. He speaks. Get to know him. Get to know him. Get into that deep love relationship with him, that deep intimacy with him. When you know he's speaking. He's speaking. Be sensitive to his voice. Live out the kingdom life so that people are drawn to Christ. And as you exalt Christ in your life, people will see him. People will see him. Seeking his kingdom, therefore, should be priority number one in our lives. What did Jesus say? Seek first or last? First. Seek first the kingdom. Matthew 6 verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So don't get absorbed by the pursuits of life. Get absorbed in the kingdom. Get absorbed in the kingdom. Don't work for the bread that perishes, please. Don't. None of your degrees matter, let me tell you. You can't take any of that to heaven. You can't take a naya paisa here. Not even 1 rupee coin can you take to heaven. You can't. All that you've earned, you'll have to leave behind. Naked you came, naked you'll go. What can you take with you? Priceless intimacy with Jesus. Priceless character, which Christ develops in you and me because you know him. Work for that bread, not for this bread that perishes. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Every need of yours to fulfill his will for your life, he will provide for you. What must you seek? Not the bread that perishes, but the bread of life. You know, when we started this church in 1996, we used to have church camps. And regular church camps, Brother P.C. Wagis used to come so often. Like Brother Raj comes, he used to come. Brother P.C. used to come. And in one of those church camps, he left me with a promise. Because as a young pastor at that time, I was troubled. I went to him and said, Uncle, I really don't know what to do. How am I going? I myself need help. How am I going to help these people? And they are coming in. What do I do? And you know, he said this. Before he left, he said, Elias, here's a promise for you. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. It's not there on the notes, but you can write it down. Luke 12, verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. I was telling George a couple of days ago, this verse sprang from the book, straight, you know, hit me deep. And what hit me deep was the last part of the verse. Luke 12, 32. The last part of the verse says, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. That means that he wants to manifest his kingdom through these broken pieces. That's what he wants to do. He wants to manifest his kingdom through you and me. Helpless, powerless. But he's our helper. He's the God of all power. He wants to manifest his kingdom through his church. That's God's desire. Little flock, fear not. It's the Father's pleasure to give you his kingdom.